And go to Leviticus in chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. Of God's Word. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. These are God's words. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring the offering of animals from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the suet over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up and smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering of fire, of a soothing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering is from the flock, of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall slay it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. He shall then cut it into its pieces with its head and its suet, and the priests shall arrange them on the wood, which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priests shall offer all of it, and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head, and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crops with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. And he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the wood which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And those are God's words. This book is filled with mostly ecclesiastical laws. It's church laws. As you can even see from the name of the book, it comes from the Levites, who were the priests. And so it has to do with the laws regarding them and what people ought to do with, mostly dealing with sacrifices. The book here begins with the sacrifices, the law about them, and specifically in this chapter with burnt offerings. And if you remember, they were in the wilderness at the end of Exodus, and still within this first year in the wilderness, and here they are still receiving God's law at Mount Sinai. And there is the tent of meeting. It's spoken of at the beginning of the chapter. There, we remember, is the presence of the Lord. And Yahweh speaks to Moses. He gives him instructions for how the people are to bring the offerings, of course, what the priests are to do with those offerings once they have them. And one thing you will commonly see in these instructions is the phrase, without defect. The sacrifice, the animal that was brought, was to be without defect. It must not have health issues. It must have no defect, whereas a drooping eye or anything like that, any defects to, and this pointing to the need of a perfect sacrifice that we find in Christ alone, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And why do we need a perfect sacrifice? It's because of the guilt of our sin. And that's shown also here in the transfer of our guilt upon the animal. When the priest lays his hand, in verse 4, upon the head of the animal, the priest representing the people laying his hand on the animal's head, in a sense transferring the guilt of the people onto the animal who would be then sacrificed. And then the gruesome death of Christ is foreshown in the slaughtering of this animal, the blood sprinkled on the altar after being sacrificed, and the animal is burned in the fire. And the smoke goes up as a soothing aroma to God to appease Him. And that's concerning the offering specifically of bulls. It's the same thing with the sheep and with the birds that are mentioned here. But he goes on in verse 10 and following with the sheep and then the birds. Again, they are to be without, the sheep are to be without defect. Again, remembering that Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he had to be the perfect one without sin. That we'll hear about this morning in Romans as well. And then perhaps for those not as financially well off as we might find later in the Scriptures, they could offer a bird, which didn't cost as much. And so these offerings were to be offered with humility according to the laws of God and then be accepted by God. And yet these sacrifices, as if we read in Hebrews, did not take away the actual guilt of the sinner. Any of those in Israel who offered with a pure heart these sacrifices, those sacrifices never took away their guilt of sin, but only pointed to Him who would do so for those who believe in Him, that is Christ Jesus. And so that's the beginning here of the book of Leviticus, pointing us, of course, to Christ alone for our salvation and pardon of our sins. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your perfect and holy word. We're thankful for this book of Leviticus. Most people, probably even in the church today, look at the Scriptures and they don't often want to study Leviticus because it's just about sacrifices and priests and it's kind of seems very repetitive or boring. But Father, in it we find the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we remember what Paul thought about that he would have the people know one thing, and that is Christ crucified. And Father, we even see that here in chapter 1. We do pray that You would help us to believe by Your Spirit. Cause us to believe Your gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins as the perfect sacrifice, as the Lamb of God on the cross for our sins and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. And that to secure our justification and grant to us eternal life in Him. We pray that we would believe this gospel, that He died for our sins, and that He died, as we could say, each one of us, He died for my sins. We pray that each one here would be able to say that, and that You would send Your Spirit to make that effectual to them. And Father, we do ask that You would help us as we worship You today, as You were commanding the people and the priests here how to worship You under the old covenant. We pray that You would help us to worship You now under the new, in Christ. Father, we also thank You for Your church. We do pray for our church and this transition period that we are about to be in. We do pray for the presbytery who will meet Tuesday this coming week, and they will consider our petition to join them. And so we ask that You would give them wisdom and mercy and grace as they look at us, us the people who are not perfect in any way, don't necessarily look like them fully, or are part of their denomination. We pray that they would be merciful and friendly and gracious to us as we go through this process. We do pray for the officers, especially as they have to probably be examined, and ask that you would give them wisdom and the recall of what they already know in the scriptures and in the documents that you have given to us in the Westminster Confession and the catechisms. Father, help us in these things to know your word, and pray for each member here. We know that each one will have to, again, profess their faith before elders, and ask that you would not give them hesitancy or embarrassment or nervousness or anxiety about it, but that it is just a sharing of their faith that you have given to them. And we know that those elders who will examine them are gracious and merciful men, and so we pray for not only our congregation, but their presbytery, the Midwest Presbytery, as they do this work for us. Do also pray for the RPCNA Synod this week, which is like our General Assembly. We pray that you would give their elders wisdom as they handle the business of the courts of your church, the church which Christ is the head of. We pray that Christ would be sovereign over them and lead them by your Spirit into the truth. Father, do pray for my travel and any others who are traveling to that you would give us safety as well. We do pray for the worship service next week, in which we will be traveling a greater distance, and ask for safety in our travel, and also blessing that it perhaps would not be too hot, that we'd be able to concentrate and not be distracted, which would probably be an easy temptation for us, but that your word would be proclaimed, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that many would be saved, as we pray today for our even here as we worship you this morning. That all here, even of our children, would hear and believe the gospel unto salvation, and be justified and adopted into your family and sanctified by your word and by your Spirit. Father, grow us as a congregation. We know that we are weak and frail as in number, and so, Father, we pray that you would help us, that we would be apt to invite people to worship you, also that we would welcome any who walk in our doors, no matter who they are, no matter their background. And Father, we pray that your word would speak to them and they would believe unto salvation as well. We pray also for the elders, that you would give us boldness and discernment, that we would warn against any wolves within our body, that you would kick out and clarify for us elders wolves in sheep's clothing, who bring division and divisiveness into our congregation. We're thankful it doesn't appear that there are any wolves among us now, but Father, prepare us even for when there may be, as you say there will be, and at times have been. Father, we also pray for those who may not be feeling well. I pray for myself, also my wife, and strength in our bodies. And Father, we do pray for Jeannie and her knee, and ask that you would help her as well. Also, Oliver and his back. Father, help him and give him comfort as well. Father, I do thank you that you are our King and in Christ, and that you intercede for us, and you are our advocate before the Father. And Father, we ask that he would advocate for us, and you would receive his petitions on our behalf from him. For your glory and for our good, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.